Praise the Lord. Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. And today we are celebrating the resurrection of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On Friday we were here and we were talking about Him dying on the cross. Now the Bible says something wonderful. He did not stay on the cross. He went down to paradise. Remember, He said to the thief, "Today I shall be with you in paradise." I know some people think that Jesus went to hell and suffered in hell. No! You must remember, Jesus did not owe the devil. Jesus owed the Father, God the Father. And Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." So He meant that the work that He came to do was completed when He was on the cross. He went to hell to take the keys from the devil. The devil did not make Him suffer in hell. They could not, because He paid the price when He was still on the cross. So when He went there, He went to take what belonged to Him.
Amen.
The Bible says He went to paradise, and He went there to preach the gospel to those who believed in the coming Messiah. He preached the word. And then the Bible tells us something. It says when that happened, He led captivity free, and He led them out, and they were free. And then paradise was closed. When you die now, you don't go to paradise anymore. Remember that as well. That's another reason why I'm saying Jesus was serious when He said to that man, "I will be with you today in paradise." Because we don't go to paradise anymore. Remember, paradise was a waiting place. God could not receive people into heaven until they were washed by the real blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says the blood of goats and lambs covered sin. They did not take away sin. So those sins were covered. They were still there. So they could not go into the kingdom. They could not go into heaven as yet. But when Jesus Christ died, the real blood of the Savior now, when that blood was spilled, the Bible says then they could be accepted before God. And then the Bible says they all left paradise and they went to heaven. The Bible tells us that hell and paradise were close to one another. There was just a gulf separating the two. And that is why the story of Lazarus and the rich man could see Lazarus. It's not that hell is close to heaven. No, they were in paradise. So when then Jesus died, then they were released from paradise and they went to heaven. Now they are in heaven with God Almighty, no longer in paradise. So this story started by me saying Jesus Christ did not go to hell to suffer in hell. He went to hell to get His keys. He got the keys of death from the devil. And the devil cannot now terrorize us by death anymore.
Amen.
The Bible says now when He rose from the dead, this is powerful. When He rose from the dead, there is something that was accomplished. This is the only Lord that died for His subjects. Think about all the people that are being worshipped in the world, all of them. People can come to you and tell you that this religion is better than this one, better than that one, better than Christianity. None of those religions have a leader that died and rose from the dead. This is the only relationship where the founder of the relationship is alive today. And now He's not just alive in heaven. The Bible says He lives inside each one of the people that serve Him. This is the only relationship We have much more than what we could ask for. Much more than what we could. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what the Lord has in store for those who love Him. Amen. We don't know what God has for us. And Paul, one time, he cried, and as he was praying, he said, "Oh, that I may know Him and know the power of His resurrection." There is something about His resurrection. Yes. There is something about His resurrection.
Hallelujah.
Paul said, "That I may know Him and that I may know the power of His resurrection." The word tells us that the only reason why we are righteous before God today, it's because of His resurrection. The Bible says a will is never in effect until the testator dies. You understand, right? So for us to access whatever God had given to us, the person that wrote the will for us, Jesus Christ, had to die. But when He woke up, when He rose from the dead, He came to see to it that the will is implemented exactly as He wrote it down. So our right standing before God is enforced by Jesus Christ Himself. We need to know what we have, Bazalwane. We need to understand who we are. I want to know who I am, because if I know who I am, I will be who I am. Praise be to God. I told you a dream. Some of you were here. A dream I had when I was still at varsity, when I was still a young man, where I saw this man who was our neighbor that had passed on to be with the Lord. He was a Christian. He was a believer. And in that area, that was the only old man that I knew that was a believer there. And this man passed on to be with the Lord. And then I saw in a dream, this man was resurrected from the dead. And we were in front of his gate. Now, on a bench, there were some women sitting there, and his wife as well was sitting there. And this man was standing in front of us. I think I was standing myself. And he was standing there next to his car. He was trying to explain to us how he was resurrected from the dead. And as he was sitting down there, or as the people were sitting down there, and the wife was sitting down there, the wife was still wearing black clothes. Those mourning clothes that we wear when you've lost your husband. The husband was resurrected. The husband was trying to explain how he was resurrected from the dead. She was still wearing mourning clothes, sitting down there. She did not change her clothes. And when the husband was trying to explain how he was resurrected from the dead, the wife said, "You don't have to go into details. Think about that." And later on, when I prayed and asked the Lord, "What is the meaning of this word?" And the Lord said to me, "This is the state of the church." He said, "Jesus Christ is risen, but the church is still sitting mourning His death." The church still lives as if Jesus Christ is still dead. And the Lord said, "Think about this woman. When this man was still around, this man was the provider for this family. When this woman, or when the man died, the woman had to take over the role of the provider. So now that she is not receiving that he is resurrected, so it means that she's still going to continue trying to fend for herself and look after the family." This is what the church does today. Today we neglect the power of his resurrection. And we mourn his death. And we must think about the cross. Always think and remember that, yes, you should. But we don't dwell on the cross. We dwell on the resurrection. Because that's where our life began. From today onwards, remember, Jesus Christ is alive. He rose from the dead, and He is living inside you. He wants to express His life through you. That is what has happened today. The Bible says, when they woke up and they saw in the morning when they went, the women went to the tomb. They found that the tomb was empty. The stone was rolled away. Jesus Christ was risen. He was no longer in the tomb. So don't look for him in the tomb. Don't. Understand that he lives inside you. And that's the message for today. And with that, the title then for our message today is Be Conscious of Your New Life. Be conscious of your new life. Whatever you pay attention to in your life grows. You pay attention to your new life will grow. You pay attention to your old life stays with you, it doesn't go away, and it becomes more and more worse. Whatever you pay attention to in your life grows. The word this morning is, be conscious then of your new life. Pay attention to your new life. Don't dwell on the old you. The old you is gone. You know, we are told of a story of a certain princess in England that was acting in a way that was not acceptable of a princess to act like. They tried to correct this princess. Unfortunately, it never worked until somebody set the princess down and said, "Princess, you must understand that you are not like all these other kids. These are your subjects. You are a princess. Know who you are and know that who you are requires of you to act differently, not to be like them. You don't have to be like them. They are below you. They are your subjects. You are their princess." And we're told that that princess from that day, she remembered every time when she was tempted to do funny stuff like everybody else, she just remembered that, by the way, I am not like them. I am a princess. And what we are told as well, if you look at kids coming from a royal family, they act differently. Why do they act differently? It's because they are told that you are not a common man. You are royalty. So act like royalty. And Bazalwane, this morning I'm saying that's what the word is saying to you and I. The word is saying to you and I this morning, act like royalty. Remember that you have a new life and act like that. Introduction, I just want to read some scriptures for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Jesus Christ was made sin so that we could be made God's righteousness. The same way Jesus Christ was made sin, this is what the New King James Version says. He was made sin so that we can be made God's righteousness. So Jesus Christ never sinned, but he took our sins. And he was punished for them. And not for one of them, all of them. Past, present, and future. All our sins. Once. He paid for them. So now the Bible says then, when that happened, then once and for all, we were made right before God. Whether we sin today or we don't sin today, we are right with God if we've received Jesus Christ. But if we dwell in sin, we know that there are consequences for sin. We understand that part. So, but we are saying before God, we do not lose our status. We will stay righteous before God. And we've got the right to go before God like we have not sinned. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid for all our sins. Not for two of my sins. And then maybe the moment I get to seven, there are too many. God cannot cover those sins anymore. No. All of them. That's the first thing. We are talking about being conscious of our new life. The first thing that you must understand, understand that you are righteous before God. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are righteous before God. Number two, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. You have become a new person. We're talking about you rising and becoming who you're supposed to be. Understand that you're not the same person that you used to be. Know that you are not the same person as you used to be. You are a new person. And then it says, the old life is gone. What is left now is the habits of the old life. Because when you died, when the old man was killed, the thing is, he had drained your flesh. He had drained your body. He had drained your soul to act in a certain way. So now he is gone and he is dead. And what happens with him gone and dead? The body and the mind is still stuck in the old habits. So now you need to train the body and the mind to know the new life so that you won't be bothered by the old habits. You know, I grew up in a village. We used to kill chickens. We would cut the head of the chicken, and when we want to be naughty, we would let the chicken free and have it run without the head. The head was gone, but the chicken would run. When we would slaughter a big bull or whatever, after a long time that the bull had died and we're busy now taking off the skin, when you go to some of the muscles, you'll find some of the muscles still twitching. Some chemical reaction still taking place. This animal is dead. That is what happens, Bazalwane, with us and the old life. The old life is gone, long gone. But what tends to happen is the twitches of the old life. So if you don't understand that this thing is going to come to an end, you may be perturbed, thinking that I think I am not really safe. But this thing is going to die. Let the chicken run around. It will run and run and run, eventually fall down and be dead. So don't be perturbed by what is happening in your life. Be mindful now of your new life, of who you are. Because once you are mindful of your new life, you're starting to form new habits. All of a sudden, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the child of a king. Or I'm a child of the king. My father owns this earth. My father owns the whole world. When I walk, I trust him that his angels are around me to surround me, and they are protecting me wherever I go. My father looks after me. He's the one that looks after the birds. And he says, my life is much more than that one of the beds. So in other words, he will provide for me. All of a sudden, I start looking at life like that. And I start looking at life like that. I see things happening in my life. I see the fulfillment of the word of God now. Why? Because I am mindful of who I am. I am not dwelling on the pitches of a dead animal. I don't care about them. I know the time will come when they will stop. They will stop. So I must not waste my time looking at these old bad habits. Praise be to God. Romans chapter 5, verse 18, it says, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. Can you see? You are not condemned for your sins. You were condemned because of the one sin that was committed by our father, Adam. One sin. So when we deal with that sin, all the other sins, the little babies of mother sin, they are taken care of. And then what tends to happen is, if we focus on the new life that we have, the little babies, you know what? The mother is killed now. The mother is dead. So the mother is not feeding them anymore. Because the mother is gone, they will die. Some, they don't die on the same day, Bratim. Not all of them. Some of them are a bit persistent. They stay a little bit longer with you. But if you know that the mother that fed them is gone, you don't mind them. You just focus on your new journey. And you just go on your new journey. You just move on with your new journey. And you know that them too, like their mother, they will die. A day is coming. Their days are numbered. That's how we should look at life. Now it says, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. We are righteous before God not because of what we do. We're righteous before God because of what Christ did for us. Amen. Let's settle that. Let us settle that. Let us have that settled. I'm not right before God because I do good. Let's look at the story now that talking about this new life. I'm going to read from the book of Colossians. We'll read from verse 12 up to verse 23. And then we'll go to chapter 3 as well, just to make you understand this story of our new life, because that's what we have to understand. We don't understand this story, unfortunately, we will struggle. When we're having prayer this morning, we quoted, like my wife said as well, Philemon verse 6. It says, the sharing of your faith be effectual. How? By the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you. The sharing of your faith. It says our faith will become effective if we acknowledge every good thing that is in us. We wonder why our faith is not working. No, it's because we are busy acknowledging the things that are bad about us. We are not acknowledging every good thing that is in us. The day we start acknowledging every good thing that is in us, we start seeing fruit in our lives, because then we are training ourselves now. We are training our bodies. We are training our souls to line up with what God is saying. Praise the Lord. Now let's read from verse 12. For you were buried with Christ. Understand that. You were buried with Christ. Whether your flesh says yes or no, it doesn't matter. The truth of the matter is you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life. You now have a new life. Completely new life. Don't try and strive to have life like you did before. Understand that now you have a new life. It says you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. The power that raised you, it's coming from the same God who raised Christ from the dead. In other words, that power has no limits. It knows no limits. Praise be to God. And verse 13, you were dead. Okay. In this world, currently, we have a lot of dead people that are walking around. And they don't know that. They are dead, but they don't know it. Because it says, you were dead because of your sins. And because your sin, this is important, your sinful nature was not yet cut away. You had a sinful nature inside you. It was not cut away. So when you are still a person who has not accepted Jesus Christ, inside you there is what? Sinful nature. That's the mother sin. That's where all the little things get their power from. The sinful nature that is in you. So when you are raised with Christ, that sinful nature then is cut away. It's gone. So it cannot produce in your life anymore. As I said earlier, what you tend to deal with then is the old habits that were learned by your body or your soul which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So your emotions still act the same old way. Your will, you know what, and your mind, you still think the same old way because you are trained by the old nature. So now there need to be a reprogramming now. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not conform to this world. Don't act the way you used to act. How do you change? It says, by the renewal of your mind. It says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So then God made you alive. This is powerful now. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave how many of your sins? All of your sins, even those that you will commit tomorrow because of the habits that are still hanging there. But remember that if you are mindful of who you are now, what will happen is the habits will die away as you find your new identity in Christ. You know, I tell this story when we were still young as boys. You know, we used to be naughty. And I know that girls did the same as well. So that's why I can tell this story. You would have a relationship with this girl. You like this girl, enjoying the relationship with this girl. And then one day, another girl comes. Ooh. You see this girl now. All of a sudden, when you look around and you look at this new girl, she touches your heart. And when she touches your heart, what happens then is all of a sudden you want to see this girl now. You want to start speaking to this girl. You want to start spending time with this girl. And your attraction towards this girl grows. And as the attraction grows, and if you can come to an agreement with this girl where you say, yes, I like you too, let's have this relationship, all of a sudden your mind, your everything now is focused on this new girl. What happened to the other girl that you were with? You forgot about her. Did you work hard to forget about her? No. This is my point. How did you forget about her? You just focused on your new found love. This is how we break the power of sin in our lives. We don't fight this old one. We say, I don't want you anymore. You know what? I don't want to love you anymore. When I'm alone and say, I don't want to love that one anymore. Oh, help me God that I don't love this one anymore. No, I never do that. I just focus on the new found love. And I just dwell on this newfound love. And as I think about the newfound love, all of a sudden I'm losing the attraction for the old one. That is how you overcome sin, brothers and sisters. You don't overcome sin by fighting sin hard, trying to overcome sin, your old sins. Enjoy your newfound love. Spend time with your newfound love. Do things. You know what? Go to places of enjoyment with your newfound love. In other words, spend time in the Word with Christians, people who think like you now. You will see. You will lose the desire of the old life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, walk ye in the Spirit, so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It does not say, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh so that you will walk in the Spirit. No. But religion teaches us that. Religion says, starve flesh. Make flesh suffer. And as you make flesh suffer, you are growing strong spiritually. It's not in the Word. It's not in the Word. That's why at times we starve our flesh. But we don't spend time with the Lord. After starving our flesh, we stay the same. But if we starve our flesh and we spend time with the Lord, we come out differently. Because the power comes from the time that we spend with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 14, it says, he canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. What was the record of the charges against us? What was the record of the charges against us. What charged us? It's the law. The law is what charged us. So the Bible says he canceled that record and he took it with him and he nailed it on the cross. Why? Because he was saying this record, all these charges against you, they are now completely wiped off. This law does not apply to you anymore. So you are no longer guilty before God because of you not keeping all these laws. Remember, the Bible says the laws now are written in our hearts. But with them written in our hearts, I love what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10. It says, but their lawlessness and their sins I will remember no more. So there is still that you may still sin today, but God says he will never remember your sins. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. So understand that the law then was nailed on the cross. And verse 15, it says, in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. Ah, something is coming out here. So the devil's weapon was the law. The devil was beating me by the law. Even today, if you allow condemnation to come to your heart, the devil has got you. But how will condemnation come to your heart? Condemnation will come to your heart because of the law. So do you understand that now you are completely free? The devil has no power over your life if you do not try to live according to the law. What do I mean by saying you're not trying to live according to the law? I am not saying you don't live holy. No, I am saying you don't try to meet standards for you to be accepted before God. You know that God is working in your life. He is busy changing you. So what may not be right, you leave that to the Lord to do, to change your life. You'll see as we continue, the Holy Spirit is the one that transforms us. So as you don't pay attention to those things that are not right in your life, you are allowing the Holy Spirit to work on your life, to change you. Is this a little bit too deep? Good, I like that. I'm happy then. Now it says he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So, don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink or for not celebrating certain holy, can you see that? That's holy. Certain holy days. Or new moon ceremonies, or what? Sabbaths. In the body of Christ right now, there is a move of people trying to take the body of Christ back to celebrating all these things. People are trying to go back and associate themselves with Israel, such that they want to take the practices that were meant for Israel and they want to apply them. And they say, if you apply these practices, then you will experience what Israel experienced. This is what this word is talking about here. Don't let anyone condemn you. They are taking you back to the law. They are killing you. Because you'll find yourself wanting. You'll find yourself not being able to live up to that standard. So don't allow people to come and tell you it is this special time in Israel now, so bring your whatever offering. They will tell you bring your whatever special offering, because they say what happened there when people brought their special offerings and then the windows of heaven opened above them and God blessed them. What are they trying to do? They are trying to say to you now, God blesses you because of your works. Which is against Romans chapter 8 verse 32, which says God freely gives us all these things. Now this verse is clear. It says don't let anyone condemn you. Don't let people take you back to that. Don't think everything that sounds Christian-like is biblical. That's why the Bible says we must study the Word. Study the Word. And we must study it in such a way that we are able to tell people the reason for our hope. understand what you believe. Be able to explain to people why you don't do what they are doing. Because they will mislead you.
17.
For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality. So all those rules, all those things, they were met in Christ. So that's why you are not bound. You don't have to do all those things.
Praise be to God.
Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial. You must leave. You are Mzalwane. You must live a self-denial type of life. Don't do this. Don't do that. People focus on don'ts. 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 The Bible says don't allow anyone. Okay, guys, are we reading from the Bible here? Maybe you should check if it's in the Bible. Maybe I'm just making up stories because I'm trying to come up with my own doctrine here. It says, don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worshipping of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. Oh, this is the in thing in the body of Christ. In thing. People see visions. I'm telling you, they see visions. They hear God speak to them every second. God is saying something to them in the body of Christ these days. We don't want to acknowledge that the Bible says we have the Holy Spirit who guides us. And therefore, and then Romans chapter 7, verse 6, especially from the Amplified Bible, it says we live by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. It's not often a voice, it's a prompting. But Abazalani, they will tell you about how they hear this voice. Well, people do, of course, but I just think it's too much. So check stuff. This word says they will be saying they have seen visions. They've seen a vision of you bringing an offering. And I know if you bring this offering, all your unsaved family members will be born again. Bring it. Mail it to me. Is it me speaking here or it's the word? Can you see what is happening here? I'm showing you what the word is saying. The one problem that we sit with in the body of Christ is that we do not confront false doctrines. We allow false doctrines to go on as they are. And whereas the Bible clearly says it, that we need to confront false doctrines. Show from the scriptures. I should not come and tell you stuff and not show you from the Bible. Praise the Lord. It says, their sinful minds have made them what? Proud. That is what has happened. And unfortunately, because of that, what happens then is they do things that are not in line with the word of God. Romans chapter 1 from verse 18 to 21, it tells you exactly what it's talking about. They don't want to worship God. They don't want to give him thanks. And therefore, the Lord hands them over to their sinful lives. And then they get confused and then they become worse.
And they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body, for he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. Can you see this? You have been set free already. You are not going to be set free. You have been set free already. If you don't know your freedom, you will suffer as if you're still bound.
So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? You see, I was not making these things up. That's in the word. That's what the Bible says.
Verse 22. Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline. I have to do them. I'll show how strong I am in the Lord. We don't follow rules and regulations. It says, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. That's why people end up falling back, and they go back to their old ways because they just think this is not working. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Remember, the story is continuing from chapter 2. Remember, this is where we ended off. 23, these rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline. But they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Can you see now? We are given the solution now. Don't follow the rules to set yourself free. Don't follow the rules to make yourself stronger or whatever. It says the way you do it is you think about the realities of heaven, where Christ is. In other words, know who you are because you are in Christ already. Know where you stand with Christ and think about those things. And as you think about those things, you will see you will be free from the things that have been binding you. Verse 3, for you died to this life. Don't think about this life. You died to this life. Now, the problem then comes in. You must remember, Bazalwan, we have a devil out there that is trying to convince us otherwise. So the devil is out preaching his gospel. He's preaching his gospel. And as he preaches his gospel, if we don't know here the truth and we shut down his gospel, we don't listen to it, what will happen is we'll continue struggling with life. So be careful of what you expose yourself to. At times you struggle with things, not because the devil has got you numbered. It's just because of the gospel that you are listening to. You're busy listening to this world, speaking to you how bad you are, how miserable you are. You are a failure. You will not amount to any good thing. Look at yourself. Look at your background, where you come from. Look at your past. Your past is controlling. The world is speaking to you. They are telling you how bad you are, how you will amount to nothing. If you keep on listening to the world telling you those things, you'll stay bound. The devil is not going to come and preach it out like that. He will use friends. He will use television. He will use radio. He will use even family just to speak down on you. So don't look at yourself according to the flesh. Your past does not matter anymore. You have a new life now. Be conscious of this new life. Think about this. This is what this part is saying now. Think about those things of heaven. And then it says, verse 4, and when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. And John, in the book of John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, it says, as he is, as Christ is, so are we in this world. And he says, when he is revealed, it shall be seen that we are exactly like him. Not that you are going to be. You are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. So in your spiritual life, you are complete. Your spirit is 100% like God. 100%. And even Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, you have received the spirit of Christ.
So your spirit is 100% pure. Christ dwells within you. If you are not pure, the Lord would not dwell with you. But in your soul and your body, you need to change your soul. You need to change your body habits. But how do you get them to change? You allow the real you to rise. You're conscious of who you are. And as you become more and more conscious of who you are, then all these guys, they just follow whatever you think about. That's why Romans chapter 12 verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In conclusion, I just want to read some verses. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8, it says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing I want to say to you. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. This is how you show your being conscious of your new life. Think about these things. Then you'll see, the moment you start thinking about these things, you don't have time to think about the other things. And then as you think about these things, you dwell on them, you'll see you become more and more like this. See yourself the victor that God has made you to be. See yourself the conqueror that you are. See yourself free. The way that God has set you free. See yourself that way. Think on these things. He says this is the final thing. You know, always the final thing is the most important thing. The final thing to do. Just fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. This is the last scripture. It says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. What do you use the mirror for? It's to look at yourself. You use the mirror to look at yourself. Now he says, beholding as in a mirror. When it says, as in the mirror, the glory of the Lord. Now remember this. As in a mirror, who are you supposed to see in the mirror? Yourself. Am I right? It says then, what are you seeing about yourself? You're seeing the glory of the Lord. So in other words, see the completed work of Christ. I don't know if you get this. As in a mirror. So take the word of God. It says, see yourself as pure as God says you are pure. See the glory of the Lord. And it says, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So, let me start afresh. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. The transformation that takes place in our lives, we don't make it happen in our lives. We are transformed. God is the one that transforms us. But how does he get it right? He gets it right when we look at our selves, pure, holy, being what God says we are. That is how God gets it right. If we try to do it in another way, we will not succeed. He says we are transformed into the same image. Can you see? It was in the mirror. You're looking at that image, but the fact of the matter is you are not that as yet. But it says then, because you are looking at it, you are seeing it, you'll be transformed into the same image from glory to glory. It's gradual from one covenant to another covenant, the old covenant to the new covenant now. And just as by the Spirit of the Lord, and who does that? It's the Spirit of the Lord. Azalana, that's the end. That's the way that I had for us today. As we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I am saying to you and I today, let us be conscious of our new life. If we are conscious of our new life, we will see fruit in our lives. our lives will be transformed, will be changed. It's not going to be automatic. Be conscious of your new life. Amen.